pantalla yo la no.
So this is James Shaheen from the Tricycle Magazine interviewing Saido Utejani at the Forest Refuge on June 1st, 2007.
June 1st. Okay, I'm going to start with some questions that are pretty basic. I read this book, and I got a lot out of it. And do you want to say something about the title of the book? Because it has some humor in it, I think.
He's going to
tell you how the book started.
Okay.
He
didn't have time to write a book.
Yogi, Uzi,
Pure, Hadi, like
But
one of the yogis, the cartoonist, he would write down the things that Saido was saying. He would write things down.
Mm-hmm.
During interviews. And he wanted to make it available for the public, for other people. So in editing that whole compilation of little things, then we got together some other yogis and then sort of expanded
it.
เสกกูยูใส่เสกกูยูใส่แล้วอ้าทุบไอ้တော့ชื่อเดียวเสกป่ะไอ้เสกกูยูใส่เนี่ยกิริตาอเยจีเลยตัวเปล่าผิดเปล่าผิดอ่ะแล้วเจ้าดีซอไอ้တော့ไอ้เปล่ายิงเนี่ยสิเปล่านี่จ้ะตะคุชื่อกิริตาเทมเต้นน่ะตัวเปล่าไอ้เอาลูตลอดแม้ๆไอ้มันตาไม่ตีมีดีมาโหตะกาเปล่ายิงเนี่ยอารมณ์ตะพอจ้ะไอ้เจ้าดีซอเอาทุบเลยข้องเต็นตัดเลย
Watching the mind, learning about the mind. What you see a lot is the defilements. And one thing he says often, even in our interviews, our meditation, is not to look down on the defilements, not to underestimate them. And during this meeting for this, to write this book and find a title and all that, everybody liked this, because it has a lot to do with this in the book, not to underestimate
the defilements.
Because
he says in
the way he teaches, he says it's actually the emphasis is actually to notice the defilements, to study the defilements, investigate them, because it's only through the understanding of the defilements that you become free of them, or you can handle them, or be able to deal with them.
Now, cool. Lulia,
He said the other thing is that very often people become very attached to what they're good at. They want to only see what they're good at, what they have achieved, the good side. And he says, but in doing that, sometimes they either ignore or don't want to acknowledge or recognize the weaknesses they have. And they can become proud of themselves, conceited. Because they only see what's good, only want to see what's good, and don't try to, or don't see what's still lacking in them. And so, So, but if somebody doesn't see both sides, the good and the bad, he says, then you can't say the wisdom.
This
is important to know both what is good and what is bad. Then you have a complete picture. He says, especially in his long-term practice, what he's realized is that it's really important to watch out for the defilements. Because he says, it's only with the thinning of the defilements in the way that we observe, he says, that the wisdom can grow. And so it's important to watch out for the defilements. That's why the choice of this.
Do you you see wisdom as the absence of defilements? Is that a way of describing it?
Mm-hmm.
When there's understanding in the right way, he says, then there will be wisdom, and then there will not be defilements.
Opposite.
Because it's the opposite.
Moha and amoha, opposite.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
right.
Non-delusion is wisdom.
Non-delusion is wisdom.
Mm-hmm. Okay, you emphasize practicing mindfulness in a person's everyday life, as opposed to emphasizing sitting meditation. Can you say something about that?
Mm-hmm.
This
is basically what the Buddha wanted. He says for people to practice. He's just advertising the Buddha's words.
Mm-hmm. So, what role is there then for sitting? What is the role of sitting meditation?
Well, he often says, he says, it's not the posture that is meditating. It's the mind, the way it's being used that makes
meditation.
He says, meditation is, what is meditation? It's cultivating good qualities in the mind, always making the conditions right so that good qualities can always apply.
Yeah, meditation is your job.
That's the objective of meditation. This is if you could be sitting and thinking and dreaming or making up things that, you know, that the mind can feel greedy about and, you know, expectations and all that. He says, then how could you call that meditation?
You mean while sitting?
So even if you're sitting, he says more important than the posture is the mind that is working to do the meditation.
Says,
now people's view has become like meditation means you have to sit. Like the word meditation has become equated to a sitting. He says, and there are two kinds of meditation, samatha and vipassana, and his emphasis is really vipassana. In samatha, you need, he said, to sit and be still,
mm-hmm.
because you need, to go there.
Yeah, you make an interesting distinction here between samatha and vipassana. There is something in here that
food for thought.
Now it's much more like it's clarified in the instructions now.
Mm-hmm.
His instructions before were not like this. They were like this.
Mm-hmm. So, you had a very full life as a layperson. The decision to become a monk was, what motivated the decision to become a monk?
He chose this because he thought, well, he can do this practice full time.
And as a lay person, we cannot do this practice full time?
Yeah.
He says you can.
You can.
It's a little different. And you have to give it a lot of time,
mm-hmm.
the practice.
So this is this facilitates, in other words, it's easier as a monk to practice full time.
He can't say that being a monk makes it more easy to meditate. It has nothing to do with being able to meditate.
meditate has nothing to do with being a monk or a layperson. He really chose to ordain because he wanted to become a monk.
Mm-hmm.
He wanted to.
อาทุมเนี่ยเตียพ่อผู้เป็นหลุลุเตียอาทุดาไม่ที่ใครอ
ู as a lay person his becoming a monk did not do anything to the practice his being a lay person had not been detrimental to his practice at all his practice in fact had gone from strength to strength as a lay person
what just one last question about that what can you do as a monk that you couldn't do as a lay person
ဥစဉ်အဖုံကြီးဘုအနေနဲ့လူအနေနဲ့မလုံနိုင်ခဲ့တာဘုံကြီးအနေနဲ့ဘာပေါ်လုံနိုင်လို့
လူတွေနဲ့တွေ့ရတာ
Well now he teaches people
Did you
meet a lot more people
Right So teaching is really what he felt an obligation to teach or
I think that
no. He had no intention to teach. I had no idea he was going to teach. But then his teacher told him he should teach and put him in that position, so he started doing it.
Okay, so the decision to become a monk was because he wanted to become a monk.
Yes,
Okay, I don't know if he doesn't have to answer this one if he doesn't want to, because after this they will become far less personal. But it's just that for Americans a really big issue is depression.
Mm-hmm.
And as a lay person, as a you know, and as someone who had a successful lay life, for me he talks about interest a lot, and depression is characterized by a lack of interest.
Mm-hmm.
Did going through depression at all bring him to a lot of the conclusions that he came to, because when you're depressed, you often make a forced effort.
Yeah.
And there's a lack of interest.
Uh-huh.
How did he, or how does one deal with depression then, if it's characterized by a lack of interest and a forced effort? Well, how did he deal with it, if he wants to say, or if he doesn't want to say how he dealt with it, he can say how someone else might deal with it.
Depression, but the bro. ဦးဇင်း depression နဲ့အာထုတ်ခဲ့လို့ तू ဘာလို့စိတ်ဝင်စားလဲဆိုတော့ဦးဇင်းအမြဲတုံးတယ် effort နဲ့ interest ဆိုတဲ့စကားလုံးတုံးတယ်လေ तू ကအဲ့ဒါကိုစိတ်ဝင်စားပါဆို effort ကလည်းစဉ်းစားလိုက်ရောကိုကမလုံနိုင်တဲ့ဟာကိုစူးစမ်းပြီးကြော်ပြီးတော့လုပ်ရတဲ့သဘော interest ကြတော့တခုကိုကြော်ရတာမဟုတ် interest ကြတော့ဖြစ်နေတဲ့ဟာအတိုင်းလေးပဲလိုက်သွားတာအဲ့လိုမျိုးပြစ်စွာပို့တဲ့လေအဲ့ဒီဟာကို तू ကသူရိမ့်ပြီးတော့အဲ့တော့မေးတာဦးဇင်း depress ဖြစ်တဲ့အချိန်မှာ depression ကတကယ်တမ်းအမြဲစိတ်ဝင်ဝင်စားမှုနဲ့ကိုအတင်းလို့ယူရတဲ့သဘောနှစ်ခုအမြဲပါတယ် depression
yeah yeah yeah
အဲ့တော့ဦးဇင်း depression ကိုဘယ်လိုလုပ်ရင်ဆိုင်ရလို့အဲ့ဒီထဲကအတွေ့အကြုံကြောင့် DD စူးစမ်းမှုနဲ့ interest ကိုအဲ့လောက်ပြောပြတာလားဘယ်လိုဦးဇင်းတခုပြောချင်လားဟုတ်ပြောချင်လား
yes 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 အဲ့မှာဟို depression ဘယ်လိုလုပ်ရလဲဆိုတော့ဘုရား right attitude ဘုရားအစောစီးတဲ့ရှိဒီ defilement တွေဘယ်လိုအတွေးရမလဲဘယ်လိုယင်မြင်မျိုးနဲ့လက်ခံရမလဲပြီးတော့မှဘယ်လိုအားထုတ်မလဲသိပြီးသားအဓိက right attitude ပဲ right attitude နဲ့သူ့ကိုလက်ခံပြီးစိတ်မစားပြီးလေ့လာတာသူ့အသိချင်လို့လေ့လာတဲ့သဘောပဲဖြစ်တယ
် Jesus his the key for him is really right attitude in dealing with his depression much earlier on I mean he started practicing from when he was like 14 or something and you know he met his teacher a lot no? and he already knew all these tools he already knew how to regard anything that came up in the mind to watch it objectively not get involved to see it for what it is and not take it personally he already knew had all those skills he had the right attitude towards watching ugly stuff come up but he never did it So at the time that he was depressed, he could use those skills, and he could, you know, apply himself to them.
But man, naka, don't have people get depressed. Naka, no, do I to be the jaw low like?
He's been depressed 3 times. The first couple of times, he actually used just like a strong effort to overcome his depression, just sort of snapped himself out of it.
Last one, yah lo, me lo ba me yah lo, ah me si lo.
In that last depression he could not use that kind of effort there was no energy left in him to try to yeah sort of He says the first two times that he dealt with his depression, he used a lot of effort. He used a lot of effort, but no wisdom. He said, but it doesn't last long. He got over it, but the next time it came back, it was stronger. And in the last time he got depressed, then he realized he couldn't run away from the depression. It followed him everywhere. He was very
pervasive.
And then he realized he could not try to overcome it anymore. He would have to try to learn about it. And then he started using his wisdom to try to understand it.
Okay.
And using your wisdom to understand it is getting more intimate with it, or knowing it, or recognizing it, or understanding why it.
Yes, he says, just he would just recognize that it was present,
mm-hmm.
with the right attitude towards it, as he recognized it, that this is just nature,
mm-hmm.
nobody there. He had the right view that this is just a quality of mind. And then just watching it continuously to learn about this. What happens to it? Does it grow, go away, decrease? What's the mind thinking? How do the thoughts affect those feelings?
So he became interested.
Yes.
Okay. Again, about.
Because he saw that when he would do this work of investigating it, it would bring some relief from the depression. So with time, the interest grew because the motivation. Before that, he was completely overwhelmed by the depression. He was at its mercy. But now that he was choosing to be proactive and find out what it was about and all that, he found that he had some space. He could do something and then work with it. So he got interested.
Did you stop wanting things to be otherwise? Was there a level of acceptance there? Or? That
was the main thing.
Mm-hmm.
That was complete acceptance. Because he saw that he was helpless to do anything about it. So he was like, okay, I can't do anything with this, let it be there. He couldn't do anything to it, but he could do something himself. What could he do? He could examine it, study it, you know.
You know, when we think of effort, we think of going against the grain or going uphill, and interest is far more congenial, you spend less energy or less, there's less voluntary kind of effort. There's sort of a.
Efforts are as a galo, so in a qua nga loare, josa hulu tingare. Interest are in a nga maloa bene, josa hulu
tingare.
And then a porok him me mushi
do nyambalo.
Yes, because there's wisdom. Because there's wisdom, that's why interest is like that. Effort alone, he said, without wisdom, the way people generally understand it,
mm-hmm.
he says, has that quality because often the effort is motivated by greed.
Mm-hmm.
And he says, I mean, because he's investigating his own practice all the time, he's really interested in seeing how the mind works when it's practicing.
Mm-hmm.
And so he's seeing how with a lot of people, the reason that their efforts are not giving results is because they're making efforts with greed, aversion, and delusion, motivating those efforts, and that's why
the whole life they do it, the whole world.
And our whole lives, he says, everybody sort of makes effort to do anything, like write an article or study or something, with these motivations often in the back of the mind. That's how we learn
to have a result.
Yes, to have a result.
Yeah. And what is the difference then between interest and right effort? And what is right effort?
Interest and right effort, or right effort.
Right effort ka nyam pa law right effort lo pyo da
this right effort means there is wisdom
ma ma ka nyam pa ba ne a thut da right effort lo pyo da interest a le sait win sa le nyam le mho lo twa sait win sa da
practicing in the right way would be right effort, so wise effort. And interest, he says, is because there's wisdom that there is interest.
Da lo sa ka lo mho tong da
ma, but I mean interest is just a word of he doesn't understand English very well. He says he tries to use a word that other people can relate to.
Well, interest works.
Interest works. Like interest as in
but God. Interest. If you become very interested in knowing, then it's effortless.
It's because the sense of inquiry, that desire to know something, is wisdom at work.
And what is, when we become very interested and we reach a kind of absorption in what we're doing, is that and time seems to disappear. And is that absorption a good thing? Is that what we're talking about?
No, here,
he says the interest is like important, like this is first priority, and therefore the interest. If something is going really bad in your life, he says, how to become interested in the mechanics of what's going on? But without right view towards this, he says, that sort of interest can't come. If we're identified with it, or, participating, it's difficult
depressed,
to feel
my mind depressed, I'm very bad. This idea, so interest beluma malanai.
Yeah, with these ideas in the mind, difficult to have interest.
At the same time, if you're very happy about something, it can be equally difficult to be interested.
Right view,
that's why only with right view, he says, interest becomes possible.
And how do we cultivate right view in that?
He says, listen to
discussion,
discuss Dharma, listen to a lot of it.
Right knowledge,
so you have to have people who have right knowledge, right view, and be able to
apply the right view, and
then you also try to apply it. Mm-hmm. And then in trying to apply it and learn about it, he says slowly you sort of start to understand what right view is. He says talk a lot with someone who has right view, he says you get influenced by it.
So in other words, the results in time and with practice and insight, that's the results.
What do you mean results with time and
practice? I'm saying that you learn right view, it's like the idea of study, reflection, and practice.
Yes, all.
Right
view,
wrong view is also very good.
So, when the third time you dealt with a depression, would you say that was the result of insight, or was trying a different way rather than effort? He became interested. Was that sort of was that insight that allowed him to do that, or?
Depression Yes, he realized he couldn't leave it alone. He can't just let it he couldn't let it slide anymore.
Right.
Yeah. That's just reasonable thinking.
Mm-hmm.
That's a kind of wisdom, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Let me see what else I have here. There's a lot of stuff. Okay, here's a question that comes up in this book. You say awareness is not enough, that wisdom is needed. Can you say something about that?
Awareness,
He says because awareness, by its very definition, it's called that because it is the cause, it is a proximate cause for wisdom to arise.
Mm-hmm.
Awareness itself is not wisdom. But what you want is wisdom, not only awareness. If you understand Abhidhamma, you know, there is theoretical in the Abhidhamma where it's specifically stated that it's only, you know, there are many wholesome minds, and all wholesome minds must have awareness, sati,
mm-hmm.
as an attendant mental concomitant. If sati is not present, no wholesome mind is possible, and wisdom is a wholesome mental quality. Without sati, wisdom is not possible.
Okay, so you often describe right effort as remembering to be aware. Is that sati?
Recognize lo mi mo ko 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 pian chi bo ma me da
ta ti tu wa u sia ma me lo ta ti ya ma me da lo u sin pyo la le da me tu wa sa ka lo tou na u sia ta ti o blo pho tha le so ro ta ti tha bo ma me da ga ta ti lo a lo myo pyo da hau la re
pyo lo ya
yeah
you can say that yeah ai ta ti da mo lo nyan ba ni
but remembering to be aware, he says, not awareness alone anymore.
Mm-hmm.
If you're remembering, he says, there's wisdom in that too.
Recognize
mm-hmm.
When you're only recognizing, when there's a mere recognition of things going on, that's awareness alone.
Mm-hmm. So, you talk about mind becoming aware of mind, and at first we detect mind by thoughts, or thinking. That happens. He describes in here mind becoming aware of itself.
Right.
Okay.
Yeah.
And we first have a sense of mind by viewing the thoughts that come from it. And then he talks about mind aware of mind, I believe. I think I heard that last time.
Mind being aware of mind.
Or is mind just the thoughts? I was curious.
He says, you know, the thoughts are in the mind.
Mm-hmm.
When there are no thoughts, it's still the mind.
Okay.
One kind of function.
There are many things going on in the mind.
Mm-hmm.
Many
and
functions.
Thinking is one of them.
Thinking is one of them.
And when one is aware of mind.
Yeah. And that's it.
You know, when one is aware of the mind's manifestations, that's one thing.
Yeah.
Is it possible to be aware of mind itself without its manifestations, or are they one and the same? I mean, and I just want to know what he thinks about that.
Say yeah, popiare hari ro ti lo lwe. Uma say the ma phit the hari ro ti lo ya. Da ma say ji ba, say the ya hari ma ba ba le say ji ba ti lo ya lo. Ta ya la. Use ba che le ti je. No. When you know mind, you know its contents.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So it's not
say say
the
day ya ma chi ba le say say ma ba ba le say lo byo lo mya.
Yeah. Without all those contents, you can't say there's mind.
Right.
Yeah.
So they're interdependent.
Yeah.
Is the
I mean,
yes, they come together and go together.
Okay. Something that always interests me, speaking, I asked him about that last time.
Yeah.
And
so
you know, Steve pointed something out to me earlier, and it was, here's his question, or the question that I like too. We've heard you encourage students to develop awareness of speaking. You yourself undertook the four precepts of speaking while a layman.
Hmm.
What did that involve, and what challenges did you face?
He talks about awareness of speaking. He says it's because, I mean, if you're going to practice the Satipatthana, he says it's specifically stated in the Satipatthana. Be aware of speaking when speaking.
Mm-hmm.
Just
aware
as be aware
and
of
intelligent.
Sight.
Be
aware
and wise.
And he wanted to practice this being aware when speaking, and so to help him, he gave himself a framework, and that framework was the four rights precepts for speech. So he used that as an emphasis, like what he should be watching out for when being mindful of speech. And that really bumped up his awareness, he said, got much better. He says, since awareness and wisdom have to come into the picture every time he's going to speak, he says, and opportunities to speak come up all the time during the day he was doing business. And he says, if his determination was to have awareness and wisdom present with him while speaking, he says, then what is happening is that there's a lot of awareness and wisdom happening all day. So of course it just boosted his practice. He says, a lot of people, he says, it's because of wrong speech, saying the wrong things because they weren't aware enough, not enough wisdom, not being able to control themselves. And then he says, the result of that is, when you have no awareness of wisdom, the result of that is chaos, which means you can't control your samadhi. You can't keep your samadhi because you've just given yourself
wrong
something
speech,
to.
Wrong thoughts when you got all agitation.
And the wrong thought itself, he says, brings agitation to the mind. When you say things you shouldn't say, and when you don't say the things you should say,
all the time agitation.
Create agitation in the mind.
Lay people ma da adiga phin.
So for lay people, he says, this is one of the main things they have But what people do when they're not skillful at speaking, they go the other extreme and just shut up. But then he says, you can't not always speak. You can't always not speak. He says, when it's a situation but in any situation, he says, it's only difficult in the beginning because you're not skillful yet. But if you practice, like study each situation, each and every time, he says, with many, many experiences, the mind starts to learn. What should the mind say? What should the mind not say? How to be aware?
So you have to be able to, you have to be willing to make mistakes and suffer embarrassment.
He says, of course, he says, how to get it perfect.
Every time you're wrong, but next time, slowly, slowly.
Right.
Probably you know, you talk. Take a lesson.
That's the main thing. He says he didn't care if he made mistakes. He made a mistake, but what he was interested in was learning from everything, being aware, and then again, you know, make a mistake, learn from it, try again, be aware, and learn over and over.
How do interest and effort build momentum? So
interest and effort.
Well, interest. How does it, like we talk about awareness building momentum? You talk about awareness building momentum, and sometimes you become so interested that there's no sense of I made a mistake, I'm embarrassed, anything like that, because you're so interested. You're interested in something more than your own comfort. But you also talk about awareness building momentum. And when there's...
Continue the awareness building momentum. Awareness only more.
It's continuity that builds momentum.
Okay, so, yeah,
continuity awareness
builds momentum.
Right.
So it's a momentum in awareness, of course, yeah.
Yeah, momentum, I'm sorry. Yeah. You know, momentum in awareness, right. But he talks about energy, like if you're, he talks about squandering a lot of energy when your effort isn't correct.
Yeah.
How would he suggest avoiding that kind of effort?
Luria energy pyeongpyete he says they must recognize the mind that is using effort, how it's using effort. So that's why he's telling people to recognize the mind. He says someone from the side can't really tell you, you have to look for yourself.
ဒီကဟိုအရောကြီးခိုင်တယ်တန်ရှင်ကြီးရတော့တာဘာလဲဘာဆိုအက်ဖတ်ပို့လာပို့လာမတုံးမြအေးလေကိုစိတ်တန်ရှင်အားလေးဘယ်လောက်ထည့်နေလဲတော့တိမရမှာပေါ့အဲ့ဒါဒီတိုင်းကြီးစိုင်းကတော့တင်းတာဟုတ်တန်ရှင်နဲ့ပါလာမှာပေါ့ရှိပြီဆိုတော့အားထည့်တန်ရှင်မှာပါလာမှာပေါ့
yeah, he says when you watch the mind you can recognize how the mind is using energy. And if there's too much energy used, there's a
tension ga chan de tension ne sa kai ne da mae a ye ji da di a thu ne sait ko myin ma de tension yor.
So in the beginning he tells people to watch out for tension, but actually it's very gross because when it's tense it's already because you've used too much effort for some time. But he says if you can see the mind directly and how it's, how much energy it's using, then you prevent that tension from building up.
You're very your teaching is very different from most Vipassana teachers I've met. And how did you come upon this idea that, that it's a de-emphasize sitting?
Because
you sat plenty, I mean, I'm sure.
Yeah. He says, well, he says, very often we start with sitting. He says, but he says, we must remember what it's used for. He says, we sit to help the mind to calm down. But he says, once the mind is calmer, he says, then we want to develop wisdom. And to develop wisdom, you don't need to be sitting. You can be doing anything. Now he's not. He says he doesn't say people shouldn't sit, but so like you said, de-emphasizing rather than getting rid of. But he says the problem is people have the wrong idea that they have to sit. He's trying to say that's not a have.
Yeah, it's equally practical to be awareness, to practice awareness in every...
Yes, it's because he began to really understand the nature of Vipassana meditation that he started to talk more and more about that.
You don't like labeling, or it doesn't seem that you like labeling.
Because it's not necessary.
It's not necessary.
He says you use labels to explain things to other people. What do you need to say it to yourself for?
One thing it may do is, let's say your mind wanders, and you say mind wandering, and it kind of brings you back, and it, it, it,
recognize lo kan dia.
He says why not recognize? Recognize.
He
says, don't you know the mind is wandering? You already know it. He says, do you need to put a name to it?
But, well, that's how we
understand. I said, you know, you had said in your question, he says, when you use a word like mind wandering, then you can bring it back. He says, that's just
changing.
He says, in fact, balobida. In fact, he says, you don't even need to use a conscious label. When you recognize, when the mind recognizes that the mind is thinking, the mind has already said to you, this is thinking. The mind does
already
a natural commenting of everything it perceives. Then you can't stop. So this kind of natural
labeling,
you want to call it, it's normal and it's fine. He's saying you don't need to add a conscious label to it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so that kind of normal, the mind speaking about what it experiences is normal. That's not a problem.
Okay.
Capping or labeling alone.
He says, for example, he says if we label pain, 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 it can get more and more painful. Because the mind thinks and knows the meaning of the words it uses. So it starts to think of the meaning of pain, so it buys into the meaning.
It reinforces pain.
It feels pain, more pain.
Mm-hmm. So, but nonetheless, the intent in awareness is not to change anything, it's simply to notice it or be aware of it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Right.
As it is.
As it is.
You're sitting in the middle of a place that seems to be devoted to sitting meditation and walking meditation. He
said, well, they have nothing to do, we'll do that. He said,
they drink tea too.
Yeah. Sure.
Nice out there.
They walk. Yeah.
Nice out there. Daily activity.
He says, gotta talk to them more about daily activities. Yeah.
So, when you, your understanding of the Satipatthana Sutta then is not that it is that it's just about awareness in every aspect of one's life. That's the understanding of.
Everything in the mind. He says, when he de-emphasizes sitting and walking, the result is, if they have nothing else to do, they can sit or walk if they want. But what he's really wanting them to see is how to use their mind. Whatever they do, use their mind. They can sit the whole day if they want, if they use
no problem.
Mind in the right way.
And how is using the mind in the right way?
Right way,
When there is awareness, sati samadhi panya, when there's awareness, concentration, and wisdom in the mind, you know, things feel light, alert. And then over time, you find you're discovering more and more. You feel that the awareness is getting more and more established. You feel the mind is steadier and steadier. You feel you're understanding things you didn't understand before. Then you know you're practicing the right way. But if the practice is making me tired, stressed, anxious, doubtful,
depressed,
then disappointed, then you know. Then you're practicing the wrong way. So he says, really, the right or the wrong must be checked by looking at the quality of the mind.
quality going mind, quality mind, my hope.
If the quality
mind,
is good, it's right. If the quality is not good, it's not right. Something's going wrong. This is how it should be measured, right practice, not by the sitting and the walking, not by the
right
postures.
Right. I mean, do you recommend, like, at least periods of intensive retreat? Does that help in any way?
Intensive
you
retreat
from life. You remove yourself
intensive
from life
retreat
from focus?
When
use
apilare.
He does.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, he's like going to camp.
Right.
It's a silo.
Apply
logo.
So that you can go in for a competition.
Right, okay. And if you're saying here that these very intensive retreats often result in awareness that goes away very quickly if you. He
says if they were practicing correctly in the retreat, and it wouldn't be so intensive, of course, then they wouldn't use it so easily. Also, if they have enough understanding about the practice, about their own practice, then they can maintain it for longer. If there's not enough understanding, also, it will fade away after some time.
Well, it does fade away for many of us. What does one do? How does one, I shouldn't say hold on to it, but how does one deepen it out of
the mind?
He says because the mind is not close to that subject. That's why the mind loses track of it.
Retreat when
he says people have the wrong perspective on the objective of a retreat. The objective of a retreat should be to learn about how to use the mind, how to actually use the mind in a way that they can use again later or continue to use. He says the retreat is like going to school. You go to school, right? He says you go to school almost half your life. Do you want to go back to school?
No.
He says, can you be in school all what are the things that you learn in school for?
To apply them in my life outside of school. Do you ever sit anymore?
He sits anyway he likes. He might lean back. Whatever. So long as he's sitting still anywhere, he considers being sitting. He might be sitting like this. If he's still, that's called a sitting for him.
Okay, I have a question. I have a job where I have to talk to a lot of people some days, all day, and I don't like it. I find talking and being aware at the same time the most difficult.
Yes.
Because I'm so easily gone.
Yes.
Any advice?
Slowly. He said, try to integrate it slowly. Deliberately. He says, so try first practicing speaking and becoming aware. What is the mind feeling as it is saying things? Is it speaking with aversion? You can notice that.
Mm-hmm.
If it's
excited,
you can recognize it's
speaking.
You can just start from that one thing, just noticing the state of mind as you're speaking.
You know, I find that I've been trying this since I saw him last time. Every day I try.
Okay.
So some days I forget.
Okay,
no
problem.
Then I try again.
Try again.
So
yes.
I'm just wondering. Sometimes when there's awareness and speaking, then they kind of come together.
But different.
There's a kind of clarity that ordinarily doesn't exist, and the person I'm listening much better. But anyway, so it's working a little. But anyway,
if you keep doing this, next year you'll be expert. You'll be master at it.
So that's a goal, or?
Understanding at your jet.
The goal is understanding.
I think I'm going to have to become interested in failure.
He says there is no reason for failure.
When
if you don't do it at all, surely. There's nothing to gain. He says the moment you're doing it, you're already profiting. It's only when you're not doing it that you're not gaining anything.
I don't want to lose that.
That's when you're losing, like, opportunity cost.
And let me ask one more question. What is, in the absence of interest, when interest isn't there, how does one spark interest?
Same with Zara account, but don't know same with Zara.
Use thinking.
So rather than use efforting, use wisdom to think. Think things through.
Right.
What should one do?
Or can you might you ask, what is absence of interest?
Same with Zara.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
Yes.
That's it. Yes.
All right.
Do you have anything that you want to ask Steve that you think would be good for our readers? Well, a lot of you helped me very much here, and I.
He says you can like kind of arrange it, like put it in a coherent order.
We will, and then you'll see it, and then I was wondering, I love this pamphlet, the booklet, and I'm wondering if I show you certain pieces of it, can I run it with
the interview? The second book will be like that.
I'm going to get him a copy.
Add
the
two book, information book, yeah.
The newer one, let me just tell you, the newer one only has a little. It's the new one. Steve is the new one. It is.
Second.
It has the wine. That's the
picture. Lola look like that.
Maybe.
Yeah, Lola, the new one look like that.
This is the new one. It has the wine.
Imagine. Yeah, look at Lola Pita. That new one, yeah.
Second
and third. You get the New York?
Yes.
Yeah,
New York
Center.
That's Lola. Yeah,
the
right.
Yeah, these at the end like are great because you can read them.
It starts
you keep reading them again and again, and after a while you start to brainwash yourself.
Yes. Food for thought, maybe. Account there. And I'll taka, put in there. Go,
see that. Yeah. Right view.
That's what he said just now. If you speak to someone with right view all the time, it seeps into you.
Okay, the only thing for an introduction, we would write the basic biographical information that you can probably give me, like, you know, Sayadaw's, where he's from, where he teaches, all this sort of thing.
Okay.
Is that okay? I hope that wasn't too stressful. Or
stressful.
He seemed very happy, so.
He doesn't get stressed talking about
Dharma.
I'm sorry? He doesn't get stressed talking about Dharma.
Okay.
Yeah, he still wants to say more, he said.
Good. I would love
him
to say more.
If he would, you know, say anything, it could be a lot.
Now, Sayadaw's been teaching for 10 years in Burma.
Yeah.
And in the early years, there were a lot of foreign Asians, you know, the Vietnamese and the Koreans. And then some Eastern Europeans, but now in the last couple of years, there's been more Americans coming.
Yeah.
Now he's here teaching in America. Any particular challenges working with Americans?
No difference, he says.
Westerners
are actually more interesting to teach.
Why?
Because they think they have they have critical.
Not the
Kuga,
through the
Yom Namo. And they're not believers.
And so thinking is not a problem to the benefits of meditation?
Because
they have this habit of looking into things. They want to find out. They have a natural curiosity.
So natural curiosity is
overall
a useful tool.
Not too much, he said.
Too
much is no good, he said.
But Eastern
just believe. They won't think.
That's why they don't use the intelligence. The intelligence not grow. Calm down.
So the intelligence doesn't grow. If you don't invest money, you don't get more money. So he says invest intelligence.
Do think that the way that we're educated,
educated people easy did we but not educated it.
Yeah. Yeah. He says the we have students from the university who are practicing to be doctors.
Mm-hmm.
He says they're very intelligent. Like they catch what he's saying really quick.
Mm-hmm.
He says intelligence makes a big difference.
So the intelligence and the curiosity and that not believing, but just investigate everything, somehow leads to greater wisdom or quicker wisdom?
Hey, intelligence, pose wizara, pose wanzanje, nesika, nyan pisira.
Yes,
nyan
pamida. Diva wan, nyan pamida.
Is invested.
And go and you investigate the dimitan at table.
Investigating requires
yes,
pamida.
Well, it's the tradition of logic and science.
You know, interest serious, so you do a deep.
Because once
informed,
there is interest to investigate, he says then the mind isn't involved in what's happening anymore. It steps up
we
to take an objective view.
Involved.
He says, but if we become invested in, indulged in, wallowing into what's happening, then
and then
people put in a lot of effort to be in the experience, and then you know it all.
Involved in it. Interest are balelo teaching or what? Nyan yet the bawa got backalo. I mean, not so like that.
But interest, if it's, you know, wise interest, he says it immediately backs away from what's happening.
So it makes whatever you're experiencing that feels so personal, it makes it an objective.
Yes.
Observing it objectively. Just,
yes.
This, you know, kind of,
and
this
yeah,
is the nature of the body, this is the nature
yeah.
of the mind.
Yeah.
And that is wisdom.
Yes.
Yes.
Yeah.
But in order to do that, you have to have no vested interest in it.
Right. Having a vested interest is greed.
Yeah. So in other words, it also obscures.
He says, wanting to understand the conditions is wisdom. Wanting a result is greed.
So, what would be the proper motivation for someone to practice meditation? We need to be motivated, we need to have a goal, but we don't have attachment.
Wanting to know. Yeah.
So wanting to know is enough motivation for undertaking
Yes. And then when the wisdom grows, the person can't stay, like can't not do it anymore.
Atheist, he says that's why
he likes atheists. This is his hope for them. You
want to
know?
He
says, don't believe anything. You want to know? Look.
Through atheists, follow people. Through
He says why people become atheists is because they think, that, so they can't believe.
But you want to know simply for the sake of knowing.
Error. Tipo betina.
Lude ma.
In the beginning, just start with that, he said. He says everybody has some form of desire to know,
mm-hmm.
some basic need to know.
Natural,
he says,
that nature
just encourage that. Just give that encouragement, let it grow.
I haven't heard Sayadaw talk
education,
about
right education, madam. Yes,
he says all right education is based on motivating the person so that the person wants to know for themselves. He said all the cramming, rote learning, pushing information into is never the best quality doesn't come out. Potential doesn't come out.
Intentionally,
when a person from inside themselves, a true motivation to learn emerges from inside themselves, then they push themselves to their greatest limit.
So you have to want to know in spite of whether knowing is comfortable or not.
Yes, he says then you have to really know what is the benefit of knowing compared to not knowing whether it's comfortable or not.
What is the benefit to that? I mean, is it
what is the benefits of knowing
mm-hmm.
as opposed to benefits of not knowing?
ไม่ได้มันเนี่ยสิดิ คือ everybody has wisdom, everybody is intelligent. ใช่มั้ยล่ะ already have it, everybody has intelligence. ไม่โอ้กิเลสตาเนี่ยโพ้นี่แล้วตัวมันตอกอ่ะ
The defilements are covering it so the ember doesn't glow and doesn't catch fire.
John defilement
that's why he gave that title to the book. Don't underest, don't look down on the defilements.
It's a funny title. Everybody in the office loves it.
เซ็งเหมือนกันเดี๋ยวมาไดอารี่ซาวเนี่ยก้าวเสียวเต้นตัวชาเลยเดี๋ยวมาฟังดิเต้นเต้นเต้นเต้นเต้นเต้นเต้นเต้นเต้นเต้นเต้นเต้นเต้นเต้นเต้นเต้นเต้นเต้นเต้นเต้นเต้นเต้นเต้นเต้นเต้นเต้นเต้นเต้นเต้นเต้นเต้นเต้นเต้นเต้นเต้นเต้นเต้นเต้นเต้นเต้นเต้นเต้นเต้นเต้นเต้นเต้นเต้นเต้นเต้นเต้นเต้นเต้นเต้นเต้นเต้นเต้นเต้นเต้นเต้นเต้นเต้นเต้นเต้นเต้นเต้นเต้นเต้นเต้นเต้นเต้นเต้นเต้นเต้นเต้นเต้นเต้นเต
Are there?
The defilements.
We'll try to get you a copy of it.
But the title page, no, what's the cover? The cover of the book has a cartoon with a man watching Greed and Aversion. And Moha, delusion, is standing on his head like he's conquered the North Pole, the red flag.
There's an illustrator that practices with Saito who comes from Malaysia, and while Saito's giving teachings, you know, he'll then go back to his room and draw an image of the kind of the main teaching that comes out of that session.
I would love to see the illustrations.
That illustrator.
Because we could run them if it's okay.
Yeah. I'll see that you get a copy.
Yes, and another thing he likes is that he depicts the defilements using little mice.
So quick.
How does humor help us in this practice?
Because wisdom sees the joke in everything.
That's a great
wisdom sees the joke in everything.
Wisdom never feels upset. Because when you see the truth, it's easy to laugh. He says you can be going through something really difficult. When you really understand, you can laugh. See that it's really funny.
And that happens after somebody dies. Sometimes everybody's sitting around and someone says one thing and everybody starts laughing.
Yes, people don't want to be sad, so they want to laugh.
Well, thank you very much. That was really good. I look forward to the next 3 days.
Okay.
Okay. Oh, then you got the type of la.
You got plenty to write then, he says,
right,
after these 3 days.
Come on, many questions.
He says there will be lots of questions in there.
Yeah, there will be. And I will put it together and I'll email you. Do I have your email address? I think you gave me something else.
I'll send it to you.
Okay. And I'll probably, okay. I can send you a copy.